Real quick, we have to take a break to acknowledge the sponsor of today's episode, which is Secret Nature. Secret Nature's ultra premium CBD gummies are crafted with real botanicals, nothing extra, and designed to fit right into your day with clean, purposeful functionality. So for me personally, I like to take one of their snoozer gummies in the evening to unwind and ensure that I get a good night's sleep. After a long day, especially when my brain is just still running a mile a minute and I can't seem to settle down, I'll take one to help me slow down, unplug, and actually get a good night's sleep. I personally don't drink alcohol because I just don't like the way it makes me feel the next day, but these gummies feel very clean, intentional, and it never leaves me groggy the next morning, just feeling balanced and rested. Secret Nature's gummies are organic and farm grown. They're never lab made. They're ultra premium CBD gummies made with real botanicals and nothing extra. You've got two purpose built options. There's Bliss for clear focus and productive flow if you want to take one during the day, and then you get Snoozers to help you relax and rest at the end of the day. Each gummy has consistent, measured CBD, so there's never any guessing, just clean, reliable functionality that fits naturally into your schedule. Get 30% off your first order at secretnature.com with the code MAMA. That's M-A-M-A. And just a heads up, their Black Friday sale is coming up, and they are going to be offering 25% off on orders of $75 or more, 35% off on orders of $125 or more, and then 40% off on orders of $150 or more between November 26th and the 30th. So don't forget to use my code MAMA when you check out. That's M-A-M-A at secretnature.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things that people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Visit progressive.com to see what you can save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
This MLB season, FanDuel's Dinger Tuesday is back. And this year, all customers get a profit boost to bet home runs every week. So gear up to go yard all season long on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in select states. Opt-in required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including any token expiration and max wager amount. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Welcome back to Mama Mystery. I am your host, Kelly, and thank you for joining me on this week's Weekly Docket, your go-to for the biggest true crime stories making headlines this week. And buckle up because we've got some wild updates, including a huge scandal brewing in Hot Springs, Arkansas. I am a little later than normal getting this episode out because I've just been slammed this week between working, doing hair, and then working at our ice cream cone. But I do want to mention that I've had a few people come through the ice cream cone. If you live locally, you know what I'm talking about. And if not, I totally understand why you might be confused. But we own an ice cream shop that is shaped, the building is shaped as an ice cream cone. So every time I say I'm at the cone, that's what I mean. But I've had multiple people come through as they are listening to Mama Mystery, which is the coolest thing. I'm always so like floored and appreciative whenever people do that. And then I've had a couple people pass through who were just excited to speak with me in general. And that makes my day. So I just want to point out that I really love it when that happens. And if you're like local to the area and you want to stop by the cone, I'm usually there Monday through Thursday, 1 to 3:30, until our kids get out of school for the summer. And we just do that because a lot of our employees are high school age kids. So I'm kind of just covering until we have more employees that are available to work those hours. But needless to say, it makes it really hard to keep up with the podcast when I'm also working at the cone and serving ice cream. So I appreciate your patience as I get these episodes out a little slower. Last week I was pumping out content like crazy. And then this week, I don't think I've posted anything except our usual weekly episode, our deep dive. So thank you so much for being so patient with me. And with all that said and out of the way, let's dive into this week's top headlines. In In Hot Springs, Arkansas, a school community has been shaken by an unexpected scandal. Dr. Stephanie Nahus, the local school district superintendent, was placed on administrative leave after her husband, a former teacher, Zachary Nahus, was arrested this week for violating his parole on child sexual abuse material charges. Zachary is 52 years old. He's a registered sex offender who served prison time for porn that involved children. And a jury convicted him in 2016 on 10 counts of possessing and distributing the material. He had originally been arrested in 2014 on over 24 counts and eventually pleaded guilty in a deal that landed him a 15-year sentence with additional probation. He was paroled in 2022 and he was living with his wife Stephanie when police conducted a routine sex offender compliance check at their home earlier last week. During that check, officers say they found evidence related to his previous offense, enough to declare a parole violation and arrest him on the spot. The arrest took place on Tuesday, April 29th, and word spread quickly through the Hot Springs community. Parents were alarmed and angry, not only at Zachary's alleged behavior, but also at the potential implications for the school district. Dr. Stephanie Nahus, who's 48 years old, has been with the Hot Springs schools for 15 years, and she's been the superintendent since 2017. She's well-known locally with a 26-year career in education. And I think things for Stephanie really started to heat up when a phone call was released of her speaking to her husband after his arrest, and she seems disturbingly nonchalant about the whole ordeal. And I'll play you some of it because the whole conversation is kind of long, and I think there's actually more than one phone call, but I'm going to include the pieces that I think are relevant and the pieces that I think have the people most upset. Take a listen.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, it finally worked.
Man, I've been trying since 3 o'clock.
Well, the first call I got was at 4, and
yeah, well, I've been trying.
I was going
my pain would not work.
I was going into my massage, and then it wouldn't let me accept it. I had to set up an account, and then it took forever to set up an account, and you'd called like 2 other times while I was trying to set the account up and pay for it. And then the lady was like, I don't show that he's tried to call you. And I'm like, he's calling me now, like from the same number. And so then she was like, okay, and I gave her all my credit card information. She's like, we'll do this fast. And then she goes, and your phone number is 479, da da da. And I'm like, no, my phone number is. I had to give her the phone number. And then she's like, can you give me your credit card again?
Well, I'm sorry.
Anyway, it's been the process. And then I had it on speakerphone to try to push the buttons and listen at the same time, and it won't accept. I think that was why it wouldn't accept it, because you can't do that. So then it wouldn't accept it, and then I just told Tamara, I said, just do the massage. I hope he'll call back later and realize that's where I'm at.
You had me thinking you were not accepting the call.
I was worried you were going to think that.
Well,
yep.
I deserve it.
You do, yes. To be honest.
So, I hate saying it all over again, but so sorry.
Yeah.
I couldn't sleep last night just thinking about everything. I'm going to be in here a long time.
Well, I don't know what's going to happen. We, Andrew, you know, didn't get home till after midnight. We didn't get to bed till probably 1. So hoping that I sleep tonight.
Wondering about him.
Yeah. He's okay. And him and Jay are very upset with you. They are very angry at you. And you just need to be prepared for that. And they understand now, and they have no trust, and they're really mad. So, anyways, we just need lots of prayers because the board has called a special called board meeting tomorrow night, and the attorney's going to be there, and they've asked for me to be there, and Karen and Becky and Jennifer, and I think it's just to make sure everybody's on the same page and to have a statement ready, but I am going to talk to an attorney tomorrow that through AAEA would get 2 hours free and just have my ducks in a row if I'm asked to take a deal or something. So I don't feel like that's what's going to happen. I mean, like Debbie was like, I'm glad we have a 3-year contract locked in with you. We have no just cause. You are doing a great job. We're going to get through this. And then Linda was really serious. And I mean, she did say, you know, we're behind you, but, you know, they're also going to have to do what they have to do. And people are being crazy.
It's unfair on you.
People, I mean, I talked to a parent today who was very loving, and I talked to a parent today who was like, can't understand why you stayed with him the first time. You're a mother, too, and I don't agree with that. And I said, I respect that you don't agree with that, but I don't really feel like you have the right to judge me for my personal decisions, and it does not impact the job I do here. Like,
yeah.
I did not make these choices. I did not know he was making these choices. Like, I'm just doing my job.
You do your job very, very well. And if it would help...
And I may lose it. I may lose it because of this.
If it would help, tell him that you're going to divorce me. I will...
What I told that parent today was I was not going to be making decisions about my personal life in the middle of crisis. I wasn't going to do that. And that I vowed to better and worse and sickness and health. And I do have a lot to think about. And our kids have a lot to think about. And my husband, like, we just have a lot. And I was like, but I'm not going to make decisions right now. And what I do decide personally, I hope that people will respect, because it's not their business. So.
Well, I'll tell you that it was on the news here, and they just all started calling it out. Hey, you're on the news. Hey. And my son was saying, he's a big guy, bigger than me. Doesn't take much to be bigger than me, but he was saying, I don't like it. I'm not going to hurt you, but I can't promise anybody else.
Yeah.
But... we had a big old talk because we got locked down for shift change, and he was very understanding. He says, "If you're telling me the truth," and he says, "I think you are." But
yeah.
I'm thinking last night. It is not sane. It's not logical for someone in my position to take the risk to do this.
No.
And so you have to be insane.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if I do have some sort of mental defect.
Well, we have to get you help and continued help. I should have never trusted you. I'm beyond frustrated with my naivety. Because I think that's the thing. I think the police are wondering if I did know about it. And if I did, that's not fair. It's not fair to me.
Not at all. And that's...
And there's just so much that we're going to need to talk about. But have you heard anything in there about anything? Have you gotten any information?
No, not anything whatsoever.
Okay.
I don't know if you can put money on the phone.
I've got money on the phone, but for me, I mean...
$20. Oh,
yeah.
For you. Oh, you have to put it on to get some calls? Okay.
Yes.
Well, I think it's cheaper if we do it, if I can dial from here. So if you put money on my phone account.
Well, it's 7 cents a minute.
There?
I don't think that was bad.
Maybe not.
We'll figure that out. We'll figure it out. I don't know anything else. I haven't tried to call Tonsith or Stewart, I guess. I might try to do that tomorrow.
Do they
at some point?
What was I going to ask you?
Tonsith is who you checked in with, right?
Yes.
Okay. So what? I don't know if we should talk about it on the phone or not. But what precipitated them coming? What did they tell you?
It was the ADC, the Community Corrections Parole and Probation, that was doing a compliance check. And they said I wasn't supposed to be on the internet at all. So that was a parole violation right there. And then they found that the flash drive that I had saved stuff on just over the last... It was like on last Thursday or Friday and then on Monday. And then I'm so stupid. It just...
Yeah, that is. So that's real stupid.
I was wondering if you could... check with Veronica or Vanessa if there's some sort of defense, guilty by reason of insanity there, because it's insane.
Yeah. I had a huge mess to clean up, so I'm really mad about that too, because our house was a mess, our bedroom specifically. But anyway, We'll go through all that at some point.
You got cleaned up? Did they break anything?
No. Okay. They were very nice. The gentleman at the end said, "You're Dick's daughter, right? I have great respect for him and your family. Sorry you're going through this." Like, yeah, me too. So.
It's all because you got a loser. Dang it.
I am not going to put up with this stupid choices. And that's what I'm having to defend now, is say, I can't control your choices.
Yeah.
And
that's what,
you know.
I'm serious, if you get a chance to talk to Vanessa about some sort of mental defect, researching that or looking
at
that.
Yeah.
But I knew, the three things I need to do is I need professional counseling, because the once a month of Father George was not working. It did not work.
No.
I need to stay busy, so I need to be full-time employment.
Yeah.
And
you need to have zero access.
Zero to internet.
Yes.
Nothing.
Meaning even turning off the Wi-Fi while you're.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think they do have
procedures
for that to make it work. But you might not even have to worry about it, because I might not get out again. You might not see me again outside. So.
Well.
That'll.
I would doubt that that's the case.
Really?
I just hope they don't get additional charges on you. That's what I hope.
Oh, they,
I hope
they
that
will.
They.
There's no doubt they will. That's what I was worried about all night. I couldn't sleep last night.
But they'd have to prove that it's new stuff. Can they prove that it's new stuff? I don't know.
They know that it was saved since then. And, you know, this time it was not downloaded whatsoever. I was not sharing it whatsoever. It was, I saved images off of websites that I just was... clicking, it could click to me, because they asked me what websites were, and it was just like, it was miscellaneous random letters in the web's address. You could type it in, it wouldn't come up, but you had to go through these clicks from different websites, and I was surprised when I found it that way. But
Well, maybe that will be a silver lining that you didn't download, you know. I don't know. We just got to pray. Got to pray to figure all that out. And I'm not planning to get a lawyer. I just had a text message from Hearst saying, "Saad, if you need our help, let us know." I think.
Well,
I didn't read the whole text message.
We might need a lawyer just to deal with the prosecutors. I think Lawrence is going to hit it hard.
Well. We'll see.
Because
I'm not really willing to spend a lot of money, Zach.
it shouldn't be as much this time. We're not going to go trial. I'm pleading guilty, no doubt. I mean, that's what made him mad last time, I think.
Yeah.
I'm pleading guilty. And there's no doubt that I'm guilty. It's just last time I did that because of advice from the lawyer.
Yeah.
So, the no contest.
Yeah.
I hope that you all answer my calls whenever I do call. I won't call too much.
I'll try my best. I just can't promise it's going to work.
Then I need to your space. But I don't want you just fuming at me without...
You don't want me what?
I don't want you fuming at me without talking to me at all.
Yeah.
You're mad.
You said... What did you say about the video visits? Once during the week and once on the weekend? Is it a specific day or time? Or do you know?
No, I don't know.
I'll have to call and ask.
Time range.
Okay.
Yeah. It's for 45 minutes, I think, at a time.
Okay.
And you're saying Drew, he wouldn't talk to me, I guess?
I don't know if he will or not. Let me see.
No. If we have time, just real quick.
How much time do you get?
15 minutes.
This call will be terminated in 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
Oh, we've only got two minutes.
Never mind.
Do you want to say hi to your dad or no? We can do it another time. We can do it another time. He's only got 2 minutes. So the call's going to end in 2 minutes. He loves
love
you.
Him. I love him.
He loves you too.
Well,
he loves you too. They all love you.
When can I call you back?
Well, his game's been rescheduled to tomorrow, so I probably wouldn't call me back till Friday.
Hey, did they win last night?
They did.
They did?
Last 30 seconds. Penalty kick in the last 30 seconds. Yep.
Good.
So, yeah.
Okay. Well, I love you.
Friday night, but, you know, give me time to get home from work and stuff, okay?
Friday night. Okay.
Okay. I love you. Happy birthday tomorrow.
Thanks. Are you going to take your mom?
I do love you, Zach.
I love you.
No.
This call will be terminated in 1 minute.
Oh.
Oh, 1 minute.
I love you very much. We'll figure it all out.
I hope it can, turns out as good as it can.
Yeah. That's what we'll pray for.
I'm prepared to not see y'all again at home.
Yeah. Hold on a second.
Wait, I'm going to turn
it. I love you, Dad.
I love you, too, so much.
Okay.
Bye.
All right. We'll talk to you Friday night. All right.
Love you.
Take care, please. Stay safe. Love you. Bye.
So naturally, frustration mounted among parents who felt like the situation was unacceptable. Many questioned whether Stephanie should continue as the superintendent given the circumstances, and some people even staged protests showing up at an emergency school board meeting to demand some accountability. Initially, the Hot Springs School Board hesitated to take immediate action, and in a Thursday meeting, the board opted not to remove Dr. Nahus right away, which left a lot of parents really furious, and I think that's why she mentioned she was approached by multiple parents. Community members expressed concern about trust and transparency, noting that Stephanie Nahus had acknowledged her husband's situation in the past, but continued in her role. And it didn't help that reports emerged that Zachary had even visited school campuses in 2023 where his children were attending school, but that was something that drew criticism at the time given his sex offender status. The public outcry grew loud enough that the school board quickly regrouped, and by Friday, just one day later, they convened another special meeting, and this time the outcome was very different. The board opted to place Dr. Stephanie Nahus on administrative leave effective immediately. In Stephanie's absence, Assistant Superintendent Becky Rosberg has been appointed as interim superintendent through the end of the school year. The board has also announced plans for new leadership. A former high school superintendent, Dr. Mike Hernandez, will take over as the next superintendent starting in the new school year. And meanwhile, Dr. Nahus's long-term fate remains uncertain. Her contract, which runs through June of 2027, stipulates that the board can terminate her for cause, but it must provide written notice and an opportunity for a hearing. As of now, no final decisions have been made publicly on whether she will return or be formally dismissed. Meanwhile, Zachary Nahus remains behind bars at the Garland County Detention Center, awaiting the next steps on his parole violation case. The specifics of what new evidence was found haven't been disclosed, but given his past conviction, any violation is taken seriously, as it should be. Stephanie Nahus has not spoken publicly since being put on leave, but she previously stated in a 2023 social media post that she had been transparent about her husband's situation since his first arrest. Now, parents and community members are left grappling with difficult questions like how much did school officials actually know, and should the superintendent be held accountable for her spouse's crimes? Now, if you're listening on Spotify, I'm going to attach a poll associated with this episode. So, do you think Dr. Stephanie Nahus should lose her position as superintendent of the school district over her husband's crimes against children? And if you can't answer that poll, let me know on Instagram. I'll have a poll there as well that is associated with this episode. And if you're curious about my own two cents, I do think that she should be held accountable for her husband's actions because this has happened before and now it's happening again. And when you have children in your home and you're caring for the well-being of children, and yet you keep this guy around and he keeps doing this stuff, I think that's very concerning. And if my children were in this school district, I would have very serious concerns about their safety. I hear way too much about teachers blurring the lines between teacher and student relationships. And so, yeah, I think this is a little too close for comfort. And I think that in order to make everyone feel safe and comfortable, it is appropriate for her to be removed from that position, especially when these phone calls come out and she seems sort of nonchalant, like he was arrested for drunk driving, which is very serious as well. But when you're in the position as a superintendent of a school and your job is to maintain the integrity of the school district and the safety of the kids that are in it, and your husband is watching sexual abuse material that involves children, One, I don't know how you stay with someone like that. Yes, I'm totally judging because if I put myself in that situation, I cannot imagine like just trying to overcome that. I would just have so many serious, serious problems. And I certainly wouldn't really be caring all that much about his safety in jail and all of that. When your kids are crying and they're devastated and they're so upset, the last thing I would be worried about is my husband's condition. So I don't know. That's my two cents. And maybe that's harsh. Maybe that's judgmental, but I am who I am. And that's Popeye. On to the next one.
The Disney Plus Hulu Max bundle. It's the ultimate bundle for an unbelievable price. Plans starting at $16.99 a month. Get it and watch Marvel Television's Ironheart on Disney Plus.
I want to build something iconic.
A new season of The Bear on Hulu.
We can make people happy.
And The Epic, a Minecraft movie on Max.
Anything you can imagine is possible.
The Disney Plus Hulu Max bundle. Plans starting at $16.99 a month. All these and more now streaming. Terms apply. Visit DisneyPlusHuluMaxBundle.com for details.
A 30-year-old case in Tennessee reached its resolution this week when a former long-haul truck driver, Clark Perry Baldwin, was convicted of murder, unmasking him as a suspected serial killer who eluded justice for decades. Baldwin, who is now in his early 60s, was found guilty of the 1991 killing of 33-year-old Pamela Rose McCall and her unborn child in Maury County, Tennessee. McCall, who was 24 weeks pregnant, had been strangled to death. Her body was discovered on March 10th of 1991, dumped along Saturn Parkway in Spring Hill, Tennessee. For years, her murder went unsolved, and Baldwin went about his life, roaming free for three decades while mystery surrounded McCall's case. This week's verdict delivers long-awaited justice. A jury convicted Baldwin of first-degree murder, and a judge promptly sentenced him to life in prison for killing Pamela McCall and her unborn baby. The breakthrough in the McCall case came from DNA evidence. Investigators had preserved forensic evidence back in 1991, but at the time, it wasn't enough to identify the killer. In 2019, the Maury County Sheriff's Office reopened the cold case, taking advantage of modern DNA testing methods, and the new tests yielded a match to Baldwin, finally linking him to the crime. It was a huge moment for the cold case team, validating the advances in technology that can catch criminals long after the fact. And on the heels of our last episode about Roger Keith Coleman and how DNA ultimately sealed his fate after he was executed, I just think it's really cool to see technology and the advancements and then DNA actually help solve these cold cases. But the story doesn't end with one Tennessee case. Once Baldwin's DNA profile was established, it hit on other unsolved murders as well. Authorities in Wyoming had two cold cases from 1992, women found murdered and dumped in remote locations, and Baldwin was now the prime suspect in those as well. In fact, detectives say Baldwin likely targeted women along his trucking routes. After connecting the dots, a multi-state effort went into effect. Baldwin was arrested in May of 2020 at his home in Iowa, and he was extradited to Tennessee to face charges for Pamela McCall's murder. This week's conviction in Tennessee kind of clears the way for Baldwin to be sent to Wyoming next, where he'll face trial for the two murders there, which is known in cold case circles as the Bitter Creek Betty and I-90 Jane Doe cases. Disturbing details emerged during Baldwin's trial that really paint a picture of a predator. One woman, Mary Ann Newton, testified about a terrifying encounter that she had with Baldwin in 1991, just a few weeks before McCall's murder. Newton was a hitchhiker who accepted a ride from Baldwin, and she recounted how Baldwin brutally raped and choked her in the sleeper cab of his truck until she nearly blacked out. She only escaped by the grace of luck. After the assault, Baldwin handed Newton a gun, taunting her to shoot him. So she took the gun and fled at a gas station, managing to contact police. Baldwin was actually questioned back in 1991 for Newton's rape, but the case was dropped and he was never prosecuted at that time. This lapse effectively allowed him to remain on the road, and hearing Newton's testimony all these years later, the Tennessee jury got a sense of Baldwin's violent pattern. Shortly after attacking Newton, Baldwin picked up Pamela McCall, who was pregnant and vulnerable, and ended her life in an eerily similar fashion. For Pamela McCall's family and the families of other victims linked to Baldwin, the conviction is a very bittersweet victory. It took over three decades, but the man responsible is finally held accountable. Investigators in Tennessee and Wyoming are collaborating to ensure that Baldwin answers for all the lives that he is accused of taking. Wyoming authorities have been eager to bring him to trial for the two unidentified women found in 1992, one of whom was nicknamed Bitter Creek Betty, before eventually being identified through DNA as well. Now that Tennessee's trial is done, Wyoming prosecutors plan to transfer Baldwin into their custody within the next month or two to proceed with those charges. This week, actor Michael Pitt, best known for his roles on Boardwalk Empire and in films like Murder by Numbers, found himself in the headlines for a serious criminal case. The 41-year-old actor was arrested and charged in Brooklyn, New York, with multiple felonies including sexual abuse, criminal sexual act, assault, and strangulation. The charges stem from a series of alleged domestic violence incidents between 2020 and 2021, in which Pitt is accused of violently assaulting a former girlfriend. The details of the allegations are disturbing. According to court documents, Pitt allegedly subjected the woman to non-consensual sexual acts and brutal physical attack. In one incident, he's accused of forcing her into unwanted sexual contact, described as non-consensual oral sex, and choking her to the point of unconsciousness. In other instances, he purportedly beat her with objects, including a 4x4 wooden plank and even a cinder block to assault her. These events reportedly took place over the course of their relationship in 2020 and 2021, but it appears the victim only recently came forward to authorities. By May of 2025, prosecutors felt that they had enough evidence to charge Pitt, and an indictment was handed down. Michael Pitt was arrested on May 2nd and brought before a Brooklyn court for arraignment. At the arraignment, Pitt pleaded not guilty to all charges and was released on a $100,000 bail package. His attorney, Jason Goldman, came out swinging in Pitt's defense, and in a statement, Goldman called the claims uncorroborated and painted Pitt as an accomplished professional who would never contemplate such crimes. They never do, though, do they? He suggested the accuser was unhinged and that the allegations were baseless and only brought up years later to harm Pitt's reputation. He said this case will be dismissed, confidently, he told the press. And despite that bravado, the reality is that Pitt now faces very serious charges. And if the case proceeds to trial and he is convicted, he could be looking at a significant prison time given the violent nature of these alleged offenses. Now, for those who haven't followed Pitt's career, this news came as a shock. Michael Pitt rose to fame in the early 2000s as a talented, if sometimes eccentric, actor. He had breakout roles in films like Hedwig and the Angry Inch and Bernardo Bertolucci's The Dreamers, and he even co-starred with Sandra Bullock and Ryan Gosling in the thriller Murder by Numbers. On HBO's hit series Boardwalk Empire, Pitt delivered a memorable performance as Jimmy Darmody, a charismatic but troubled young gangster. That role made him something of a household name among TV fans, and given that backdrop, seeing him accused of such heinous behavior is jarring. However, it turns out this is not Michael Pitt's first run-in with the law or concerning behavior. Reports note that in 2022, Pitt had a couple of alarming incidents. He was arrested for assault and petty larceny after allegedly punching a man and then taking his cell phone. Around that same time, he had an episode where he was observed throwing objects from a Brooklyn rooftop, which led the police to intervene, and then Pitt was hospitalized for psychiatric evaluation. Those incidents suggested that Pitt was going through some personal troubles, but they briefly made tabloid news, nothing, however, as serious as the current charges. Reports say that Pitt is due back in Brooklyn court on June 17th, and the prosecution will presumably present evidence and possibly testimony from the alleged victim detailing the abuse. Pitt's defense will aim to cast doubt on her credibility and the timing of the accusations, already hinting that they'll argue that this was a consensual relationship and that the allegations are false. It's essentially a classic he said, she said case, albeit with some forensic evidence, potentially maybe some injury documentation or something of that sort. And the public reaction has been mixed. Fans of Pitt are stunned and some are defending him online, while others are voicing support for the accuser and praising her courage for coming forward. True crime can take some truly bizarre turns, and nothing illustrates that better than the case of the former professional wrestler caught in a dark web child pornography sting. Michael Drosy, known to wrestling fans in the 90s as Duke the Dumpster, was arrested in Tennessee for attempting to purchase child porn on the internet's dark web. It's a startling fall from grace for a man who once entertained the crowds in the World Wrestling Federation with a garbage man gimmick, hence the nickname the Dumpster, and now at 54 years old, he is facing criminal charges that could put him behind bars. The investigation unfolded in a very 21st century way. According to authorities, he allegedly tried to buy child sexual abuse material using the cryptocurrency exchange Coinbase. He likely thought the transaction would go unnoticed, but Coinbase's systems flagged the suspicious activity immediately. In fact, Coinbase recognized the nature of the transaction and declined the payment, essentially stopping the purchase from going through. But they didn't stop there. The company tipped off federal law enforcement, the FBI, about the attempt, and once the FBI had the info, they alerted the Warren County Sheriff's Department in Tennessee, since he was a resident there. Within days, an investigation was underway, and by the first week of May, a Warren County grand jury had indicted Drosy on charges of attempted aggravated sexual exploitation of children. Because the illicit material never actually changed hands, thanks to Coinbase for stopping it, the charges are classified as attempted. However, from a legal standpoint, an attempt to commit such a crime is only a step away from the completed act. Detectives gathered enough evidence to move forward, and they arrested him on the indictment. Drosy's arrest came as a shock to many who knew him in his post-wrestling life because, in a twist of irony, he had been working in the criminal justice field. At the time of his arrest, Michael, or Duke Drosy, was employed as the DUI coordinator for the 31st Judicial District's Recovery Court Program. So yes, he was actually working with a court, helping people with addiction issues, presumably as a respectable member of the community. The moment his employer learned of the indictment, Drosy was fired from that position, and it's a staggering double life. By day, this court program coordinator, and by night, allegedly trolling the darkest corners of the internet for child exploitation material. After his arrest, Duke didn't spend long in custody. He was released on a $10,000 bond while awaiting trial. The relatively low bond amount reflects that the charge is an attempt and perhaps that he has ties to the community as well. Still, many are furious that he's even out at all. His next court date is set for May 28th of 2025, when he will presumably be arraigned and enter a plea. For those who remember wrestling in the mid-90s, Duke the Dumpster was a mid-card fan favorite, a big, burly guy who carried a trash can to the ring and embodied a working-class hero persona. He wasn't as famous as, say, like The Undertaker or Stone Cold, but he had his moment in the spotlight, and that makes his alleged actions now all the more disappointing. Fans have mixed reactions, with a mix of disgust and sadness on wrestling forums and social media, and some pointed out the tragic irony that a former hero to kids, which of course wrestlers have a lot of young fans as well as adults, but he is now accused of crimes against children. So it's just a really sad twist. But from a law enforcement perspective, this case is also notable for showing how technology and corporate responsibility can intersect to fight crime. If Coinbase hadn't been monitoring for illicit transactions, this might have gone unnoticed. But their proactive stance led to a criminal being caught, allegedly in the act of attempting a heinous purchase. But it's a reminder that while the dark web offers anonymity, using conventional financial systems to fund illegal activity can leave a trail. And I think that's really interesting with the rise of cryptocurrency. Austin is very heavily invested in cryptocurrency, and I know a lot of people are kind of confused about what it all means. It's such a new thing, and some people are really iffy about it and think that, you know, there's risks involved. But I think that this is like definitely a win for those who are purporters of or supporters of Coinbase or cryptocurrency, that it caught something like this. And so I think that's a silver lining. In a quiet Amish community in Ohio, tragedy struck earlier this spring, and this week authorities announced an arrest that could finally bring some closure. On March 13th, residents of a small Amish community settlement in Meigs County noticed that 28-year-old Rosanna Kinsinger hadn't been seen all day. Concerned, a neighbor named Mose Troyer went to check on her. He entered Rosanna's home and made a horrific discovery. Rosanna was dead, and it looked like foul play. And in a poignant detail that underscores the community's simple way of life, Troyer recalled that Rosanna's pet goat was still inside the house when he found her body, a sign that something was very wrong. Rosanna's death was immediately deemed suspicious by the Meigs County Sheriff's Office. The Amish community, known for being tight-knit and peaceful, was rocked by the news. Rosanna was described as a beloved individual in her community, a young woman who touched many lives around her, and investigators had to proceed carefully, balancing the needs of a criminal investigation with the sensitivities of the Amish, who tend to avoid outside interference. The Meigs County detectives worked around the clock on the case, and they executed numerous search warrants, conducted interviews with anyone who might have information, and collected every piece of evidence that they could from the scene. For weeks, rumors swirled among the Amish families about what might have happened and who could be responsible. Tips and leads trickled in and were meticulously followed up by law enforcement. The break came as detectives honed in on a particular individual, Samuel Hochstetler, a 34-year-old man who had been living in the community but was originally from Kentucky. He wasn't a lifelong member of that Amish community. He had been staying with Mose Troyer, the man who found Rosanna, for a few months prior to the murder. This fact sent a chill through everyone. The alleged killer had been living among them even after the crime, joining them for meals, prayers, and daily chores, all while Rosanna's killer was unaccounted for. As Mose Troyer himself said, it was, quote, disturbing to think that he'd been living for weeks afterward with the person who is now charged with the murder. On May 5th, law enforcement made their move, and Hochstetler was arrested and charged with Rosanna Kinsinger's murder. He was taken into custody without incident. At this time, authorities have not publicly detailed how Rosanna was killed or what evidence specifically links Hochstetler to the crime. The initial autopsy results were inconclusive, at least in terms of pinpointing the cause of her death. But presumably, detectives found enough during their investigation, perhaps forensic evidence, perhaps witness statements, or inconsistencies in Hochstetler's story, to persuade a judge to issue an arrest warrant. Given the tight-lipped nature of both the Amish and the investigators on specifics, the exact motive remains a matter of speculation. Was there a personal dispute, an unrequited romantic interest, or something more random? Those details may emerge in court, but meanwhile, Hochstetler is currently being held in the Gallia County Jail on a $1 million cash-only bond, which indicates the court views him as a significant flight risk or danger to the community. Cash-only bonds are very stringent, and his preliminary hearing is scheduled for May 13th, at which point more may be revealed about the evidence against him. If the case proceeds to trial, it will no doubt be closely followed by both locals and those outside who are fascinated by crimes in insular communities. For the Amish community, the arrest brings a mix of relief and sorrow. Relief that a suspect is in custody and they can feel safe again, but sorrow that it was someone that they had taken into their fold. The Amish are known for their forgiveness, but also for their desire for truth and justice in accordance with their faith. The local sheriff, Scott Fitch, made a statement acknowledging how tragic the case was for those who knew Rosanna, saying, quote, "She was a beloved individual in her community." That is all for this week's weekly docket. Thank you so much for joining me as we recapped this week's true crime headlines. If you ever have a case suggestion, you can go to mamamystery.com, scroll down to the white box, and leave a message for me there. They're always anonymous. I always see them. So thank you so much for listening. Have a great week. I'll see you next week for more updates on the Karen Reed trial, which I'm going to recap the entire week, probably in one pretty long episode. So keep an eye out for that one. And then we'll have a deep dive for you on Tuesday as well, as usual. So thank you so much for your patience as we get through what for many is like the busiest month of the year. We have school getting out, and of course there's Teachers Appreciation Week and Nurses Appreciation Week, and we have Spirit Weeks and Field Trips and Field Day and all the things. So if you're a mom, you are, you know, I feel you. You're not alone. We're all getting through this together. So with that said, stay vigilant, stay curious. Mama Mystery out. Bye. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Make another smart choice with AutoQuote Explorer to compare rates from multiple car insurance companies all at once. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance and Affiliates. Not available in all states and situations. Prices may vary on how you buy.